You are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network, coming to you from the heart of the Q in Quitman, Mississippi.
Old Men Stories, a show just about old men? Not hardly. It's a name that conjures up the image of someone who's been through it all, seen it all, and survived it all, like the storytellers of old. That wisdom comes with age. But all age is relative. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be male. You just have to live the story and survive to tell the tale. Join Master Storytellers Roland Willits and Jeff Young now as we start today's journey.
Stopping at the byway, looking for the old man of our day. I'm looking for the stories back in their days of glory, just to see what those old men have to say. And I'm looking for the stories of our land. I'm looking for them everywhere I can. Old men's stories are the reason, and I'll listen any season. I'll search for these old men across the land. Yes, I'll search for these old men across the land.
Roland Willits.
And Jeff Young.
Old Men's Stories. Welcome to our show. During our 116th show, we look for those special traditions that are not hailed by holidays, birthdays, and seasons. Things from buying a hat every year to taking the family to special places. Think of some special traditions you have alone or with others and define their uniqueness. Enjoy your telling like you enjoy the tradition and make this a traditional old man story.
Good afternoon, everyone, from Fremont, California, and Apache Junction, Arizona. It's Old Man Stories with Jeff Young and Roland Willits. Roland, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, we have our traditions, be they familial, societal, cultural, or just plain old personal. And today we're going to talk about what our traditions might be and what makes our traditions traditions in the first place. Because once it happens, two is habit, three is coincidence, and four or more is tradition, as the saying goes. And kind of to get us right off the bat, one of the things that I consider a personal tradition is the way that I like to open the show, since we've been doing it for 100 shows or so, even more. And just the idea of being the mobile internet radio show that we are, I love the fact that no matter where you are, I always start the pre-show where I say, Roland, where are you this week? And how long is the story for today? So that's sort of a little personal tradition of mine. For me, I'm always, almost always, in Fremont, California, or in San Jose. To be honest, the way I do this is sort of a homage to Robin Williams, one of my comedy idols, in Good Morning Vietnam. So that's why I do what I do, and that's my tradition for that.
Yeah, and so, he is, and Robin Williams is a Bay Area person, Marin County. And traditions, I was looking over my, I say, almost all my traditions, I tried to find some that aren't attached to a holiday or something special. And I said, man, we have the radio show, and that's unique. And we have a tradition of me sitting there waiting patiently for all the stuff to come up in so I can pack it all up right to share it. And I have to sit down and do the introduction, and Jeff has to do the conclusion, and then we have to come up with a story between us. And seeing that I have accumulated a few more years of participation, I seem to have a few more resources. And traveling, I find a lot of different stuff.
And actually, your yearly flight from Fremont to parts unknown is a tradition of yours. That's pretty much staring you in the face there.
That is true. Yeah, one of the traditions is Christmas morning. See, all the family come Christmas Eve. That's a tradition, of course. Christmas morning, Terry and I get up alone, and she looks over at me and says, "Let's go." And so we don't usually get out of there for another 2 weeks, but we start, and we get the mental process going of getting stuff organized so that we can get in our wonderful coach and see our country. I mean, you got to get in all of history. There was nothing as awesome as this RV. Nothing. I mean, can you imagine any kind of transportation, any time? The super ships were something like it. If you had a suite, but a suite would have just about been the same size as the RV. But we traveled the whole country, and I like to say to the universe or God, whoever you want, and he said to me, he says, "Here, I give you a black car, travel on it. The only requirement is you share it with others." And I said, "I'll sure take that." And I get to travel all over. I sit up about 8-10 feet, and I see this beautiful, glorious country, this country in Canada. And I wish it would calm down in Mexico so I could travel that direction also. But it's just a tradition for us. Terry, a tradition for us, as soon as we get in the RV and start off, you know, we put on music, and the first thing we play is Willie Nelson's On the Road Again.
Well, there you go.
And we have a tradition when we hook up is Terry gets in the car and drives up to where I spot her and where I tell her spot, and then I hook up all of the cables and everything, and then she backs back a lot, locks it in place, and then I go in the coach and look in the rear view mirrors, and she signals whether the brake lights and all the lights are working. And we just have our system, and when she throws her hands up and sort of jumps up and down, celebration, I know all the lights work, and we're ready to go. So, yes, we do that every time we take off for any kind of distance. And, you know, we will be doing that next Tuesday from here, wherever we're going. And we're heading east, though. And here in Arizona, we have met a tremendous group of people, just absolutely awesome. These people are they call them retired, but I didn't see a retire in them. They are totally active, fun people that are just absolutely participating in life. They have activity after activity after activity going on. You know, I try to get one of them to sit down and tell a story, and he has scheduled me in. And they have these pavilions at each one of these RV parks, and they have activities going on, two or three activities a day. And I've been going to what they call the jam. You know, with our old men's story, Opry, I've been going to the jam, find people that write songs, and also just people that sing nice. And I get them here. They have a CD. I record the CD, and then I have them sing to their own CD. And we see which is the best, the one I record or the CD that they did, and put that music to their voice. And it's just a lot of fun. I get to meet so many new people. And it's funny because Old Men Stories website and the YouTube site have got, since I got here, have got 2,000 hits. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
Yeah, going old people viral. You know, a lot of people here have a little more time to sit and listen, and they enjoy listening to old radio stuff because they were raised listening to old radio stuff. A lot of them, that's all they had for the first several years of their life. They go back and listen, and they just sit, lay back and enjoy. And everyone is getting into going in and seeing what, if I interview someone, everyone in the park got to go in and see the interview. And the parks around the area. I was looking at one fellow I did here, Morris Pritt from Kent, and I looked at him, and I didn't even get him on my newsletter yet, and he already had 160 hits. Isn't that something? It was just about a week.
Nice.
That's a popular person, and still going. So we have a lot of things happening, a lot of fun, cool things happening here. And what, you know, it's funny because, you know, when we talk about traditions, and I read your conclusion, I'm thinking a little heavier, but I can't talk to you afterwards, it's all gone. You said traditions and superstitions. Well, I looked at it and I said, I never, in my life, we didn't equate the two, but in your life, you do. And I thought mm-hmm. that was so fascinating, you know, because of your your Chinese ancestry and structure. Wow, I gotta hear a great story of Jeff on the two. Jeff?
Well, it's nothing to do with Chinese ancestry. And just more along the lines of conventional superstition, in the sense that what we believe is how we see the less material, the inscrutable, the ineffable sort of things. And I was brought up, for example, in a Christian household, and we're supposed to say grace before dinner. That is a tradition. And the idea that we are not just there to give the blessing for the food that we're about to receive, but also whoever was giving the blessing would occasionally add some other things. Like they'd say, well, my aunt is traveling in, traveling abroad in less than friendly country. Please pray for her safety. Or our grandfather is in the hospital. Please pray for his health. And that sort of traditional superstitious prayer sort of thing is a good example of taking a tradition and making it into a spiritual thing.
Okay.
On the other hand, I could certainly go into other cultural folk style celebration, but I think I'll save that for a different day. But in general, when I say superstitions, those are things that we pick up from other people who follow them. And the whole don't spill salt, throw it over your shoulder, that's definitely a European thing. Or the childhood superstition, don't step on a crack, you'll break your mother's back kind of thing. The little things that you say as kids, well, if you pinky swear to something, you have to do it because you pinky swore, and that is the most solemn superstitious do not break the trust of someone else tradition that you can have. That's what I meant by that.
Okay.
Everyone has their own tradition no matter what their culture is. Now, tradition-wise, as I said earlier, anything that you do more than once, that you earmark a certain time of year or a certain date or a certain time of day to do, becomes a tradition for you if you see it as such. And for some people that I know, baseball season is a tradition. It's America's tradition, as they call it, or America's pastime. So I know that when spring training rolls around, all of my relatives, they dump their football jerseys and their football t-shirts and their football hats because, well, the Super Bowl's over. Now it's time to get back into baseball season. And just because their favorite baseball teams are about to start playing again, they will gravitate naturally towards going out and playing catch or going out and joining the company or school baseball, softball, pickup team kind of thing. And it's just this baseball fever that comes out of being who they are. That's their tradition. But I'm not much of a baseball follower myself. Yes, I do follow baseball somewhat, but I don't play baseball. Longer story there at some point for another time. I might have told this one, actually. Who knows? But my personal tradition is that, as I mentioned before, every November, I write a novel for the National Novel Writing Contest. But I realized that, in comparison, my personal tradition starts in about midsummer. Because I say, oh, it's 4 months or 5 months until November 1st. I need to start thinking about my novel. I need to start thinking about what element that I'm going to incorporate in my novel. And usually, if part of my tradition within the tradition, since NaNoWriMo starts on November 1st, about two-thirds of my novels start on October 31st, Halloween. And so I have a general Halloween theme to my writing at the beginning of the month, and then it transitions somewhere else. And sometimes I'll have Halloween celebrated in space or Halloween in steampunk themes. And I realized that I've been trying to drag everyone else that I know into the novel writing thing every year. And I'm trying to make it their tradition too. And for the folks that I've gotten into this, I always start badgering them around late summer, early fall. Are you ready with your novel idea yet? And most of the time, they're like, yeah, I'm ready, or no, I'm clueless. But none of us really thought this was a tradition, because a lot of people just do it once. They, okay, I did it, then I'm done. But I'm always pleased to see the people that have gotten into this novel writing thing start up again every year, no matter how many times they've not finished, but they always give it a shot. And so this is me spreading my own personal tradition to the rest of the world, the people that I know. Roland.
Wow. Yeah, I have some of the traditions end. Now, one of the traditions Terry and I had was we'd always be back in California at Easter time. Because Easter time was when we did Easter eggs with our granddaughter, and then we hid them. But last year, she says, I'm too old for Easter eggs. So our Easter egg time have ended with our granddaughter. And if we're going to take it up again, it will be with a great-granddaughter. But that's one of those special times where we did it for 12 years. And some things go on as tradition during different years of your life. And that was a super special one. Oh, Terry and I always have a tradition also, which goes along with the time, but of celebrating our anniversary and Valentine's Day are in the same month within a couple of weeks. So we usually celebrate our anniversary on Valentine's. And it's because Valentine's Day is just so special for us. And we give our gifts on Valentine's. So that's really cool. That's a cool time for us. But most things are related to time. Now we're starting to set up some traditions with our radio show, and our next traditions we're starting to set up with our music. And you know, I'm just encouraging a Old Men Stories Opry fellowship. And what that will be is a tradition of people writing songs, going back and listening to our first radio show and all 208 story times, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And creating songs for it, going back and creating songs for it. And that will be a singer's fellowship. How does that sound for a tradition?
That sounds like a tradition built on top of a tradition, which is more than some of its parts.
That's right. It's going to be a lot of fun. Promoting it and getting participants. I already have two. Angie Sanger said she would absolutely love participate, be a leader in it. And Pat Boylson, who is a really great singer from Nebraska, said she would love to do it. And she said she looked over the themes and pacing. She already has a few that tied. Isn't that great?
It is.
So I look, and I think we could have, you know, two or three, maybe up to five songs in each one. Wouldn't that be great if we had like 1,000 songs, new songs for stories?
That's pretty ambitious.
A dynasty. Well, it was ambitious to do 208, so everything. I mean, we're infinite beings, so I think it just can absolutely be done. I mean, it sounds like it with the players that I found here and other places that are singers and writers. They are just wonderful people, and they absolutely dig doing stuff like this. They look for a reason to sing their music. So I think it could easily fail. Are you listening to this, Sharon? She might be way doing stuff, but she's got some bluegrass people. And that would be some cool singing also. So things are moving along really good with our storytelling and the songs that back up our storytelling and people singing and creating songs, stories and songs. It's just wonderful. I just interviewed Wes Reed this morning, and he had one song that he was singing it. It was written by a friend of his and that doesn't do music. He isn't a singer. Wes put it into music, and it was Heading for the Wall, Riding to the Wall. And it was about motorcycling from all over the country, going to the Vietnam Wall. And I thought that was so cool. A story, a song, and a friendship all in one big package. Isn't that wonderful, Jeff?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to jump in here and talk about a tradition that's sort of staring me in the face right now. Not literally, but one of the things that we really should do more often I think, as a society, is that there is this notion of when you go sightseeing on tour to leave no trace and to take only pictures and memories away with you. And I thought about the fact that every time that my department at work here has a group meeting, our manager, Lucille, always gets us to take a group picture. And we kind of grumble about it because it's taking time out of an already packed schedule. We have to find and wrangle 10 or 12 people sometimes at a time to go out to the front and then find someone who will take our picture. And then we have to take multiple pictures. And it doesn't matter how long it's been since we've been together last. We always have to make time for taking a picture and grumble about it anyway. So we just took a group picture. That's because we know that every Christmas, Lucille sends out a Christmas card that she has our Photoshop wizard put together from the group photo where she chops off our heads and she puts it on elves or something else. Like a group photo is like office toys and various things. And it's always fun to find a traditional Christmas card from our manager. And she always tries to write something inspirational inside and says thank you for the service that we've done for any given year. But last year was kind of dangerous during the summer. We had an all-hands meeting for the entire department. And she said, okay, give me four poses. I want a serious one, a second furious one, everyone's a dog, everyone's frightened like they've seen a ghost, and the silliest one that you can muster. So it was five photos, and essentially our Photoshop wizard got to pick whichever one they wanted. So we have ammunition for later on in the year. And I think that when mom says, go out, get some pictures with the rest of the kids, the grandkids, and her grandkids, my niece and nephew, if you will, they're going to get this family picture thing. The importance of that is not just to get a picture, but to have that moment where you've gotten together, immortalized. And I don't think we take enough pictures of who we were at any given point in time. And once somebody has left our path, be it by professional change of work or moving away or, of course, passing away, we no longer have that picture. And some of the most prized possessions I have are photos of friends who I don't really talk to anymore, just because that was the tradition that we had or something special that we did, regardless of which, it was still a photo. So if you do nothing else, have taking more photos as a personal tradition that we all should think about doing more. I mean, those of us who think I look horrible in photos, thinking of looking better is another plan. Plus, who cares? It's a picture. It's a memory. Save it well. We'll be back with more Old Men Stories after this and more traditions. See you in a bit.
You're listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. Roland and Jeff will be right back with more of Old Men Stories after this short break.
This is Terry Willits, Mom Software, giving stability, service, and excellence.
Thank you, Terry, for the leadership at Mom Software and the noble example you set for all. From our home here in Silicon Valley, and from where it all started in San Francisco 35 years ago, we welcome you to Old Men Stories. We hope you will continue listening to our radio presentation. We know you will hear a few wonderful stories that started from the home of Mom Software. www.momsoftware.com. One word, one S.
And we're back with more of Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You're invited to join the circle and share your comments and questions in our always open chat room at http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. That's http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. Now, let's give a warm welcome to our hosts, Roland and Jeff, as we continue today's storytelling journey.
Welcome back to the second half of Old Men Stories, Traditions. The idea of traditions being that anything that you do multiple times as a matter of habit, or that you can tell people about, that has special significance. And Roland, are you still there?
Yes, I am. And I'm still at Apache Junction.
Yes, you are. I thought about one other question that I had for you. You've talked about your various family traditions over the years, but one of the things that I've never heard about is that when you introduce Old Men Stories to somebody brand new, what is your traditional method of getting them to be a guest on the show?
Usually the subject, but if I find someone that's interesting, I might look ahead for 2 years to find a subject. And then I say, would you like to talk at all? But I have I have a lot in there that I've interviewed that are sitting on that I've never put on the radio show. I just say, I'd like to talk to you and put it on Old Men Stories YouTube. And they go on the YouTube and they get in my newsletter, but they don't make it to the radio show because I just didn't find the fit. But it didn't matter because they were just super interesting people, and I really, really super enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. I had a fellow that's right behind me in the RV. His name is Jim Crisp, and he carves out these pieces and makes pictures out of wood. Takes different colors of natural wood colors and builds these beautiful pictures. In fact, I bought one and sent it to my son for his birthday for the park. And I just liked him so much. I said, "Can I interview you?" And he said, "Sure." And we sat down. He showed me some of his work, and it's on the web, with his work and his story. And I just totally enjoy it. And sat there and just. Because he was there, and across the other way, I had a fellow by the name of Roger Overton. Roger is a farmer from Iowa. Roger is a wonderful guy, and I was teasing him, and I said, I'm a mountain climber. I climb the second highest mountain in Iowa, 1,400 feet. And we started joking. He said, "I think I got a bigger hill in the back of my house." So I said, "Well, come on." And so we sat down. I interviewed him. And I had some videos from the top of the 1,400-foot mountain in Iowa, and I put him on the green screen. I put him in the background. I said, "Now I put you on the second highest in Iowa." Jeff?
Well, I think it's about time for our guest speaker for today. So tell us about him, and let's go.
Oh, it's two ladies.
All right.
Ladies, it's Therese. Everyone knows Terry, and this is her first interview with Nita Swing, and I think this is a new tradition, so because I thought I was hoping it's a new tradition, I said, let's put this sucker on. Take it away, Sharon.
This is Terry Willits, an Old Men Story, and this is Juanita. We call her Nita here at the park, and I don't know your last name.
Swing.
Swing? Oh, how cool.
I married a swing, and my sister married a house.
My son's dog's name is Roundhouse. I don't think that counts.
And more recently, we lived on a road that was only 2 miles long, and on that 2 mile stretch, there were two people by the name of House, an olive, a tickle, and a swing. Swear to God.
Oh my gosh. Did anyone ever get confused?
No.
And the postman had that handled. He knew who to.
Pretty easy to remember names like that.
Okay, good. Now, you have, in my opinion, which is very important, the most beautiful voice. I love your voice.
Oh, thank you.
The first time I heard you sing, I went, "Wow, that is so cool." Do you have any CDs out?
I made CDs for friends.
Just for friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, legally I can't sing songs that someone else has.
Why not? Everybody else does.
Well, yeah, but you can get in trouble for that, so...
Okay.
I don't push it because I can't legally.
So you're not trying to pursue a professional career in singing?
I'm too old and too lazy. I can't imagine anything worse than being tied down with a band.
Oh.
You know, I sing for the fun of it. I sing because it's in there and it's got to come out.
There you go. That is a wonderful thing. I think that everyone sings that reason, though. I think they have to sing. Have you noticed that singing is, like, universal?
Yeah.
There's not a country on this planet that doesn't have music.
I remember one time as a teenager down in San Diego, my girlfriend, she and I were probably 14, 15 years old. And her grandparents lived in Rosarita Beach, which is south of Tijuana. And she and I took a bus from San Diego to the border and then transferred and took a bus from there down to Rosarita Beach, just the two of us. She spoke fluent. And that was the most fun bus trip I've ever been on. Those people were so friendly and so happy, and they taught me a song. Well, I can only remember part of it now, but that was back in 53.
Right?
Yeah.
And they taught you a song?
Mm-hmm.
One of their traditional songs?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like an adventure. I think I went down there once, too. We were just about the same time in L.A. I mean, I was in L.A. You were in San Diego. But it was in the 50s, and everything has changed so much.
Oh, yeah.
I can't find my way around now. Of course, I don't have to, because Roland does all the driving when we're in that area. It's scary.
I would never take a bus down there by myself.
Well, now, people's morality has changed. It's not safe now. In the 50s, it was safe. And you, or either that or we were really young and had no idea.
Because the Hispanic people, even today, are just very loving, caring, fun people. They are. They're just so joyous all the time. I love them. But
yes. See,
the reason I would be afraid to go down there now, not because I would be afraid of them. I would be I'm just a chicken now. I'm older. Now, when you're in your teens, nothing happens to you. It happens to other people.
That's
invincible.
That's what I was just saying, or I thought I was saying. We don't have the prevalent information that we didn't have before. We didn't know. I mean, we were innocent. We just did stuff. And I think that's wonderful. I would like to get back to that. That's one of my goals on this planet right now that I've gotten older, is to get everyone back to that point of trust and truth and love and joy. Everybody I meet is wonderful. I have yet to meet a poopy head. So the basis is there for that. Don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
I want to know about where you were born and where you lived when you were married and how many children you have. Let's just go with those three, because I don't know about you, but my memory goes someplace else.
Well, I was born halfway between the couch and the buffet.
Oh, wait, stop. What? Did everybody hear that? She was born halfway between the couch and the buffet.
And everybody thinks she dropped me on my head, but she didn't.
Why do they think that?
Because they say I'm crazy.
Who says that?
I've got a damaged brain.
Who says that?
No, jokingly.
No, jokingly. I mean, but who is joking with you in that manner?
Oh, no, it's
your
all
family?
Fun. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, then you're safe.
Yeah.
As long as it's not enemies.
Yeah, and that was out in the country east of Pine City. I was born at home. And then after that, my dad committed suicide when I was 6 years old. And from then on, we moved around a lot. Never went to any school that hadn't already started, and it was all the little cliques were already formed. I swore I'd never do that to my kids, ever, and I didn't. That was really a tough childhood. My mother was married 5 times.
That will certainly cause you to have issues.
Yeah.
You seem to have overcome them, though. Look at you. You are absolutely divine. You're wonderful. You're magnificent. You are. And you are blessed with a beautiful voice and a wonderful personality. So apparently the building blocks were there, and you took from it, and you're stronger.
Yeah. My sister and I, we never dwelt on the past.
Yeah.
The past is past.
Well, it's gone, it's done, you can't change it, so why bother?
Right. Waste
Never
your
look back.
Yep.
They even mentioned that in the Bible, didn't they? Lot's wife, looking back, turned to salt. Yeah, that'll make you sourpuss.
Yep. And I was married the first time out in San Diego to a sailor. I was only 16 years old, and he was of age but acted like a 16-year-old, and we did a lot of heavy drinking. Never got involved in drugs, but my stomach was shrunk so much from just drinking and not eating, I couldn't eat a half sandwich. But evidently, I don't know if it's a chemical thing, alcoholism, I'm really not sure, but I never became addicted to it.
That may have been your way of handling whatever at that time.
Yeah.
We all do things. Everybody does.
Yeah.
They call them skeletons.
Yeah, I just opened the closet door, didn't I?
When I was little, I used to open the closet door to look for the skeletons. I never found them. So that's probably the way it is with real life, too, even now.
Yeah.
So how many kids do you have?
Three. My second husband and I had both been married before. And he had two children from the first marriage, and I had a child. Mine was 7 years old, and then his oldest was six, and then the youngest was 2 years old. And we got custody of them within a year of having gotten married.
So you got custody of his children.
Mm-hmm.
So there must have been a story there, too, about his other...
No, we won't go there.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, we don't want this to turn into one of those. Want to keep it up. So do you come here every year?
Yep.
To get away from the snow and cold and...
Yep. I've been coming here for, 16 years, I think, now? Didn't start singing until about 10 years ago.
Here at this jam?
Singing, period.
Oh, okay.
I'd sing around the house when everybody was gone, but... Not around anybody.
Well, good on you. A lot of people don't have that much courage.
I can remember when I was 15 out in San Diego, I was with my mom and one of her husbands, and it was a bar, country music. I wanted to get up there and sing so bad I could taste it.
Did you?
No.
That's when the hook was planted.
Yeah, but then I just forgot about it. It was just a short period of time. And before that, when I was 14... I was really into big band music, Glenn Miller.
Yeah, oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
I love those.
All my friends were going crazy over Elvis Presley. I couldn't have cared less about Elvis Presley.
Well, I'm not an Elvis Presley fan. Never have been.
No, but to be a teenager and back then, not to be impressed
by Elvis. I was a teenager
Elvis.
Back then.
You weren't then, then.
I was not. I thought he was vulgar and greasy looking. I was scandalized by him, but that was just me. He's been dead, 50 years now or something? How long's he been dead?
People are still worshiping at his shrine. His house is a tourist attraction. I don't care.
You think there's something wrong with us?
There's nothing wrong with me, and I'm pretty dang sure there's nothing wrong with you. Anyway, if we
just
all
the
had
rest
the,
of the world.
If we all had the same taste, imagine how boring it would be.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Monotone.
That's for sure.
So is there anything else you want to tell the world?
Can't think of anything.
All right. I was informed that you might be concerned about this going public, and I think Roland told you that we will keep it private until you decide you don't care anymore or decide that you don't want it to go public. So this is just two old ladies talking, I thought. See, now I know a little bit more about you. Because all I knew before was I loved your voice. I heard you singing over there. I didn't see too much devil popping out, but there was an affinity for me. I was delighted with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. In fact, I think the first time I walked in there for the jam, you were singing. I think I remember that. I may be wrong.
I hope that was the day I was singing Cowboy Sweetheart. Yodeling.
You were.
And when I got done, I told everybody I started yodeling 52 years ago on the delivery table.
Okay. I didn't know that, but now I do. And so does everybody else. Anyway, do you want to say this is Juanita and your last name, Old Man Stories?
This is Juanita Swing, Old Man Stories.
This is Terry Willits, Old Man Stories. And we're not old men.
No, they are not, but they are certainly very wise and traditional in their ways. And I love that idea of once the person is gone, it's gone. And I think, in retrospect, a good tradition is something that you bring back again and again from the past to bring the present, or the past into the present, if you will, because you enjoyed the last time you did it and the time before that. And some people have traditions where they have a drink for a departed person, or they do something despite the whole trauma of whatever it was. And she reminds me of a joke. There was a guy who walked to a bar and he said, "Four beers, please." And the man said, "Why don't you just order one and just have results you want?" And he says, "No." He says, "Four beers, please. I'll explain why in a second." And the guy comes out, bartender gives him four mugs of beer. He drinks them one at a time. Chug, 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 chug. A little unsteadily, he says, "Okay, now, this is a tradition of mine. I have three other brothers. All of us are in the war, and we're all off on different continents. They couldn't keep us together. So we have this tradition that wherever we are in the world, at this time every month, we all go to the nearest bar we can find, and we have a drink with the other brothers. Only because we're by ourselves, we have to drink each other's share. That's the way it goes." And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. So the next month, the guy comes in, orders four beers, does the same thing. Three new people are in the bar, so he has to explain the four beers thing again. The third month goes by, and he comes in, and he says, "Bartender, three beers." And there's a gasp in the room. Oh, no. Because, well, they obviously know what's happened. So he brings out three beers. And again, the guy goes, "Drink, drink, drink." The bartender says, "I'm sorry for your loss. Which brother did you lose?" And the guy said, "Oh, no. We're all still alive. I just decided to give up drinking alcohol."
That's funny.
So not all traditions make sense to people who follow them. But certainly, there are rituals and superstitions in the spirit of that joke to absent friends and to departed friends sometimes. But it kind of reminds me of one of my favorite pastimes, traditions that I no longer do with some friends of mine, but it was something they came up with. And instead of the traditional Christmas feast where you have turkey, chicken, ham, roast, whatever, their tradition was pizza. No matter what, pizza, unless you're vegan, is fairly universal. And these friends of mine would say, "Okay, well, we have a pizza feast that's for Christmas, and then what we want you to do is bring your favorite pizza toppings. Bring enough to share for other people, and so that way, if somebody wants a combination pizza, they can do it." And the idea was that you had a bit of a competition to see whose pizza would get done first. And I've seen the tradition repeated in other places, too. I saw it on the Cosby Show recently, as a matter of fact, where everyone builds a pizza, and then usually from the ingredients that they brought with them, but also sometimes some of somebody else's. But there's always enough for everyone because everyone brings more than one person's worth of pizza. And you get some really amazing pizzas out of it as new people come in and they bring weird ingredients. You also find out a little bit more about your fellow participants when you find out what they want on their pizza. Because it is an old truism that you never know someone until you find out what they want on their pizza. And getting multiple people to agree on what they want is a chore and a half. What do you like in your pizza, Roland?
Oh, I always love the super combinations. They have a list of things to put on. I say, well, I'll take that list.
That's true.
I have a tradition. We have a restaurant up at the lake that's called Zorba's. What they do is they replace all the S with Z's. So they have a Zorba's Super Pizza. And that's my favorite pizza. And that's my tradition to always get a Zorba's Super.
I'll agree with that. And I am pleased to find out that Kat and myself have compatible pizza ingredient likes, because on my trip last week up to Gold Country, we went to the traditional first night have pizza sort of dinner thing. We couldn't decide on the pizza, so we went for the choose your own pizza thing, and I picked three things, and she just added one, and we had a pizza to split between the two of us. Roland, do you have a last comment before we go?
I think traditionally, you and I sort of established traditions with our show. And you came up with a conclusion, I came up with a beginning.
Indeed.
And we've done it for 116 times this week. And it has been a wonderful and super interesting combination for me. Just like the pizza.
Combination pizza. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week with more Old Men Stories.
There is a fine line between superstitions and traditions. The one is to bring good luck and ward off bad. The other is to stave off ill fortune, or simply because we've always done it that way. Regardless of which, any tradition that you practice is its own story. Jeff Young.
Roland Willits.
Old Men Stories.
You've been listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. The story for the day may end here, but the adventure continues. Join us next time for another round of stories around the virtual campfire. Roland and Jeff want to hear what stories you have to share, too. Join the circle over at www.oldmenstories.org or send Roland and Jeff an email at oldmenstories@wq4d.net. That's oldmenstories@wq4d.net. And remember that you are already a master storyteller in your own right. We want to hear your story.